Welcome back. Well, Corruption Watch has released its seventh annual corruption report, which broadly focuses on how corruption has eroded the pillars of democracy and, as such, is aptly titled Upholding Democracy. The organization's David Lewis joins us in studio now to discuss the corruption trends they've identified over the seven editions and what it suggests for the country post the national elections. Thanks so much, David, for joining us in studio this evening. So much has unraveled over the past year, and one would think that with the various inquiries that are underway and all that's coming to light on public platforms, some progress is being made in tackling corruption on a national scale. What's your feeling or sense of the progress that we are seeing?
You know, I think that the Ramaphosa administration has made some impressive gains and taken some impressive initiatives. You know, there have been a number of cabinet ministers that were gotten rid of very early, not enough, there's no doubt about it. The establishment of the commissions, the firing of Moyane, the appointment of a new head of SARS, the various commissions that have been mounted, the appointment of the new head of the NPA, the new unit that has been established within the NPA, the new boards at some of the key state-owned enterprises. These all represent substantial gains and you know, planting the, if you like, the institutional fabric and institutional architecture for ensuring that what we went through in the Zuma administration doesn't happen again. The issue at the moment, though, is that we see this in the response to our work, and I think everybody knows it, that unless punishment is seen to be meted out to individual perpetrators, the public will not be convinced that serious effort is being made to tackle corruption. Which is why we've done things like institute the application to have five directors of former directors of Eskom declared delinquent. It's based on that notion that individual perpetrators must be held to account, and this is a contribution we can make to that.
David, so with all of that having emerged and sentiment being pulled in two directions, dimmed in one respect and encouraged in another, to what extent has this triggered any shift in civil society involvement?
Dimmed is a good word to use under the circumstance, because, you know, there was also the fallout from the Zuma years, like at Eskom. We want to remain very active and we want to remain very vigilant. I think nobody believes the problem is solved, except maybe those businesses who were lining up to support us with funding in the latter months of the Zuma administration, but somehow seem to believe that it is now business as usual. And I think it's far from business as usual. And, you know, it's widely acknowledged that the media, civil society and the courts were what saved our bacon, actually. Mm-hmm. And so civil society have to remain vigilant and they have to remain supported. And we have to strengthen the institutions of the democracy that really let us down, like Parliament, like the NPA. Ultimately, these are the ones with the power and the resources to make sure that the executive is scrutinized and held accountable.
It is very tricky terrain, though, David. I mean, we've seen books being published, books being burnt, and in many instances illustrating just how polarized a public we're looking at this stage, deeming themselves both judge and jury. Is there a clear danger in that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how polarized the public is as opposed to how polarized the ANC and some other political parties are. You know, this is a very narrow part of the public, but it may be precisely what is the greatest restraint on, say, the president doing what I think he might be otherwise inclined to do. And so it's significant at that level, but I don't think it shows huge division within the public perception of corruption and what it is they want to see done in order to seriously confront it.
So what's the most significant thing that's emerged from your report in terms of trends on reporting activity and what's being reported?
Yeah, I mean, the trends are quite consistent. You know, we're quite unusual amongst many of the anti-corruption groups and public interest law firms in that we have quite a strong engagement with what is misleadingly called petty corruption. And this is the kind of corruption that afflicts people in their ordinary lives. And there you see reports on school, the management of school resources, reports on policing, reports on licensing regimes, reports on healthcare. And these are the areas that many of our campaigns focus on because, you know, not only do they weigh heavily on the poorest people in the country, but they are the terrain on which most people meet the public sector. And it's where they make up their mind whether to trust the public sector and their public representatives or not. And it's the reason why there's such a low, the major reason why there's such a low level of trust in the public sector. So yes, of course the grand corruption is very important. And of course, as we all know from the Eskom saga, it does impact on the lives of all of us. But I somehow am more confident that these big institutions with a lot of media attention on them and a lot of resources to resolve them will be more easily soluble than the kind of corruption that happens at the level of local government and the level of provincial government. And you will notice that the highest volume of reports refer to provincial government, which is where education spend, health spend is made.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, David. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, David Lewis is Executive Director at Corruption Watch.